National Party's Denise Lee.
Hello, Denise, can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can. Kia ora, how you doing too?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Yeah, I'm surviving the heat wave. It's a sure sign that it's summer.
We were talking about this off air. I think it's nice. I've missed the heat, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've got donning the shorts again, so, you know, it's got to be good.
It's been a big week for politics here in New Zealand, and I'd like to start off with the zero carbon bill. It's passed, and National put their support behind it. So I'd like to know, why did National put their support behind the bill?
Yeah, so we know that a bipartisan approach, you know, a joint collaborative approach to climate change is the way to go. And we supported back many months ago the Independent Climate Change Commission. So we actually think a lot of it should be taken out of politics and put into an independent commission full of commissioners that we know have every chance of taking a real practical, a real science-based approach to tackling climate change.
Right, and do you think that this decision jeopardises National sort of traditional support from businesses? And I've got a few examples. So firstly, you know, the Federated Farmers have come and said that the methane target is eye-wateringly hard for farmers to achieve. Also, David Seymour has criticised National for not actually supporting the changes that he put, the ACT Party put forward. And you even have sort of Judith Collins describing the bill as flawed and claiming that she almost considered crossing the floor. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, let's just take a couple of those. Start with Judith. She spoke yesterday in the actual speeches of the final reading in support of the bill. And she is just simply messaging exactly what our messages are, and that is that we support this, but we do have a series of changes that we would want to see to keep improving it. So we agree with absolutely passing the bill now, having that framework, but we've gone one step further and said that if we earn the right to be the government next year, that we'll make the improvements that we wanted to make, but they weren't passed, amendments, they weren't passed by the government, we'd make those in the first 100 days.
Could you go into
a few examples?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you were going to ask too?
Yes, it was actually. I liked it. I was just hoping that you could go into some specifics about
some specific examples
of what you'd like to change.
So anyone listening, this is the type of practical support that we wanted to do to strengthen the bill. We couldn't get this past the government. Here's an example. We think that the methane reduction target, which of course would be why you've just referred to Federation Fed Farmers as being, you know, concerned. We don't blame them, because right now the methane reduction target that is in the bill has just been cooked up by someone in the political backrooms. It's not actually put in place by the independent commissioners, climate change commissioners. So we're just simply saying, hey, that methane reduction target needs to be done by the independent commission. Another example is that we want to make sure that the bill is really clear that in the Paris Agreement that we all signed up for, you know, it happened under our watch, our signing up to that, that greenhouse gas reduction has to happen in a manner that doesn't threaten food production. And that is what the Paris Agreement says. But we just want that very clear in our bill. And so that's something that we do in the first 100 days. Another example is that we just want to make sure that we remain in step with the international community when it comes to allowing targets to be adjusted and so on and so on. We don't need to be world first, you know, kind of outliers and stuff. We should remain in step with the international community. And you want one more too?
I'd love one more.
We've got actually seven of them. I don't know if you want all seven, but one more is that we think we should be really super clear about investment in innovation and research and development to find new solutions for reducing emissions. And here's why. If we all agree that saying or confirming that there is climate change taking place, we all agree that we needed science, practical evidence for that. So we all agree that the evidence is there, right? Then why aren't we committing to that same practical science-based approach to solutions. If we need that approach to prove it exists, then why aren't we taking that approach to find solutions?
Following on from that, Denise, the bill has been criticised by some environmental groups for not actually going far enough, and the Nationals' proposed amendments seem like they want to weaken it even further. Doesn't that go against the urgency of the current climate crisis?
Well, I disagree with that. I mean, I think we absolutely think that our improvements, and I've just read out four of them, strengthen the bill, not the other way around. Why wouldn't we want to have the climate independent commissioners take it out of politics, get the independent commissioners to set those methane reductions? Our stuff improves the bill, not the other way around. Whether some people who want us to see us all do everything overnight and have it all in place by Christmas, look, I'm never going to support that kind of approach too, because simply, if we don't take it, these are all massive issues that will affect our economy, and we're best. It's taken us quite a while to get here. We're here, and we just think that the collaborative approach, the framework that we've got, is the right one.
I'd like to move on to my next topic, which is criminal conviction checks. So National Party member for Northland, Matt King, recently came out with a proposal, and it was something along the lines of background checks for electoral candidates and their sort of criminal conviction history. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. Do you think that that's necessary?
Well, it's a really interesting topic, right? A lot of people didn't know that you can run for office and you don't have to tell anyone about a serious criminal conviction. So it's not just any old conviction. It's serious ones that sort of carry a two-year jail sentence or longer. So if anyone's interested, if you, for instance, had any convictions that are now concealed under the Clean Slate scheme, they're not going to be published. So it's not like it's, put out the whole lot for all and sundry to see. It's only just for serious crimes. But right now you can run for office and have a serious criminal conviction, and you don't have to tell anyone. So all we're doing, good on Matt for pushing this forward, is just making it transparent for New Zealanders. These people can still run for office, by the way, but voters will now be informed as to, they can make their own choice.
I'd like to put an idea across to you, sort of the idea of prison and then being out of prison, or sort of, doing your time, whatever that may look like, is that you sort of get another chance afterwards, right, being rehabilitated. Now, Matt says in the press release that I read, the members bill doesn't seek to stop people with criminal convictions from becoming candidates, especially as many people have legitimately reformed their lives. However, I think if that information were to come out, surely that would hurt their chances because of the perception of them sort of being a criminal. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, look, and, I think it'd be silly not to acknowledge that there will be some effect for people who have reformed their lives, had a second chance, moved on. But, we've got some really cool stories of people who've done exactly that, and then they've done some amazing good in the community. And I really believe that voters are switched on. They'll review all the details. They'll make their choice. For those who haven't moved on, and there has been examples of, I'll just call it vexatious, prior criminally convicted people who just get in the race and take the mickey out of the thing. Do we not value transparency? Let the voters decide.
I'd like to note something I said earlier, the effect of what this bill, I would like to know is what the actual real effect of the bill will be, because I think that New Zealand is sort of a small country and the political parties are always doing, oppositional research on each other. So surely if a political candidate had served 2 years in prison, that would, inevitably sort of get out. And I just want to know, is this sort of posturing from the National Party to look sort of tough on crime?
I don't think so, because here's where it'll have a real effect, and I know this because I've come from a local government perspective. I used to be an Auckland City Councillor before being an MP. There's no worries within the National Party process. We absolutely have to disclose anything that would bring the party into disrepute. It's like number one on the list when we're even considering getting involved in representing the National Party. And I would imagine Labor and other parties have, you know, a sort of a disclosure regime anyway. This would really affect local government, where you had a bunch of independents, a bunch of people who sometimes no one even sees them coming. They just put their name on, and hey, presto, on the ballot paper, you've got, you know, I don't know, 20, 30 names. So it would really be pertinent where people get on the ballot and they've got no known kind of tickets or even sometimes a network in the community. So this is just another layer of transparency, and why not?
I'd like to move on to my last topic, which is Christopher Luxon running under National for the Botany seat. What makes Christopher National's ideal candidate for Botany?
I was actually there on the final speech night too. So I heard him and the four other people in the race, there were a total of five, and he was excellent. So from what I understand, look, I'll never know exactly the minds or even the hearts of the 60 people, 60 local members that chose Chris Luxon, but I would imagine it was just the whole range. You know, he's a guy who's got real local background. He went to college there in Botany, you know, grew up in Botany, and has all of the right intentions to get a local activity going, to connect with people, and then also has an eye for the future about how he talked about growing the economy, being part of the National Party team that gets some great policies to move New Zealand forward. So he's talented. We've got a lot of talented people in the party. He just, for me, sends a signal to the country that we're actually a bit spoilt for choice. We've got a ton of selections coming up, and there's a lot of depth around them.
Now, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of sort of posturing about Luxon potentially or possibly being the next sort of party leader at some point. And on a purely sort of strategic level, is that not a bad move, making him run up in what will likely be a very, very contentious election? An example of that, you know, Jamie Lee Ross has been comparing his social attitudes to Luxon's relatively conservative positions on both abortion and even euthanasia.
Well, look, I feel sorry for the guy, because he's not even an MP yet, right? He's got to become an MP. And go to the people of Botany next year. Any questions beyond that, I actually feel sorry for the guy, because let him get to base one first. You know, like, I mean, we get questions about leadership all the time too. It's, if I had a dollar for how many people speculate about this or that or timing or whatever, you know, we just have one job and we're very clear about it. We have got to put together our best foot forward as a team. It's always about the team, and we need to earn the right to govern next year.
Now, just before I let you go, I'd like to ask you one final question. It is, what is your greatest irrational fear?
Oh, I wondered whether I was listening in before. You said bugs, didn't you?
I'm terribly afraid of bugs, yes.
Oh, I mean, I'm bug queen. Like, you know, I don't mind bugs at all. So my two daughters are like, oh, Mum, that spider. And I'm like the spider hunter.
Oh, so no, I can't do that.
Anytime you need my services, I'll be more than happy to deal to the bugs for you. But my irrational fear would be, okay, I mean, we're kind of going to end this radio show on a bit of a D&M here. But I'm just being honest, and I like to be honest with this question. Is the thought of dying by drowning.
Oh dear.
I just think that would be a very tough way to go. And I know that's a bizarro comment, but I love the water. I adore water. And so I'd hate to have some sort of, you know,
some sort of water accident. Yeah, it's such a lovely day as well today. I was hoping to go for a swim. I'm not too sure anymore.
You asked. You asked, and it was about fear.
Thank you very, very much for your time today, Denise. I really, really appreciate it. Have a lovely day.
Yeah, you too.
Goodbye.
Bye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95BFM.